Chapter 6, Personal Pillar 1, Context. You have to have a business model you believe in and like. Brian L. Roberts. Some of my more linear clients wonder why I put so much focus on the personal side of creative entrepreneurship. It's because, frankly, for most creatives, business is personal. Author Michael Port once told me that for solopreneurs, personal problems often become business problems, and vice versa. Nearly every creative entrepreneur begins their journey as a solopreneur, so it makes sense to pay attention to how the personal and professional intersect. Plus, if your great work is tied to current events, chances are good that your great work is some kind of personal statement about the world around you. To that end, we need clarity on who you are, what matters to you, and how you prefer to show up in the world. In this chapter, we'll look at the first personal pillar of business design, context. Your context. Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, caused a stir in the collective hearts of many creatives I know. So many people around me began to sing the chorus often echoed from his book. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. Sort of, but not really. I think Simon made a dangerous assumption, at least insofar as it applies to creatives. In order to get to why, you must first understand who. That is, who you are at your core. Or said another way, it's not start with why so much as start with who. Many organizations, for whom Sinek originally wrote his book, have already articulated a vision of who they are or what they want to accomplish in the world. Most humans, on the other hand, have not. To make matters worse, their image of themselves is often clouded over or muddied up by years of self-conscious behavior designed to help them fit in and stay safe with little regard for their authentic nature. Creative entrepreneurs have it especially bad. All the well-meaning dream shamers who have shut you down or redirected your energy to what they think you quote-unquote should be doing with your life have done nothing to help you tap into who you really are or what really matters to you. The good news is that you've already done a good bit of this work in previous chapters. We're just going to fine-tune it and hit some things we haven't previously discussed. Context gives us the detailed picture of who you are, your backstory, and the current environmental constraints that shape what's possible for you. Without that understanding, it's impossible to create a viable plan for growth. It's akin to a doctor giving you a cursory glance and writing a prescription without knowing your medical history. We've touched on this a bit in your definition of faith, but now we need to go deeper. We specifically need to address three areas that will dictate most of your behavior when it comes to running your business. Grab a pencil and get ready to do some serious soul searching. Your beliefs about you. This is probably one of the most critical points in the entire process. It requires you to be ruthlessly honest about yourself. And when I say ruthless, I don't mean angry or without compassion. To me, ruthless honesty is about dropping all judgment in favor of clarity. When you place judgment on something as good or bad, right or wrong, you're carrying a story that may prevent you from having success accomplishing your goals. Instead, you need to take the viewpoint, at least for this chapter, that what you're discovering is not right or wrong, it just is what it is. You may not like the truth, it might even hurt a bit to admit it, but until you do, you can't move forward. With that caution out of the way, let's begin by getting ruthlessly honest about what you truly believe about yourself. It may take some digging and will probably bring you to the brink of tears a few times. That's when you know you've hit gold. Pay attention to what's triggering you and what's got you fired up. For example, when I mentioned earlier that I knew in my bones that I was destined to be wealthy and well-connected, it was a belief I held deeply, but one I resisted. I felt like I shouldn't want that if I was a good person. I judged wealth and influence as being wrong, slimy, or manipulative, and until I dropped that story and accepted the truth of what I believed about myself, it continued to color my actions. I wouldn't invite potential clients to work with me. Instead, I practiced the Ray Kinsella approach to business building. I trusted that if I built it, they would come. I resisted doing the necessary marketing to grow my reach and impact the lives I knew in my heart I was meant to serve. And it made everything more of a struggle. When I got ruthlessly honest, however, I knew that I was born to be wealthy and well-connected. I just didn't know how. That was the truth. It wasn't good or bad. It was just my truth. When I dropped the judgment, I gave myself permission to explore what it meant to be a wealthy, well-connected person. How would Lisa bring that idea to the world? Could I be wealthy and well-connected and still be a good person? Of course I could, but I couldn't see that until I dropped the judgment. Now it's your turn. Take some time to write down what you really believe about yourself, warts, sparkles, and all. Look at everything you believe to be true about yourself, even if it's uncomfortable to admit. Lean into that discomfort, because there's healing to be had there. When I first did this exercise, I came to see how my body image was interfering with my success. I wanted to be in the spotlight, on stages, and in film, but I truly believed that I was too fat to be successful. Until I saw that truth, without judgment, I couldn't change it. Was it painful to admit? Hell yes! And it was worth every step on the healing journey. I now have a healthier relationship with my body image, and my sense of self-worth isn't tied to a number on the scale. Is it a coincidence that I'm now being paid to speak on stages and to audiences in the tens of thousands? I think not. Because I have more confidence to show up in the first place, I have more opportunities to own my dreams. What do you believe to be true about yourself? What makes you tick? What ticks you off? Write it all down so we can see the bigger picture of you. Your beliefs about your great work. Much like your beliefs about yourself, what you believe about your great work will color your behavior as it relates to marketing, among other things. If you believe that you've built the best widget money can buy and that everyone needs one in their home, you'll promote the heck out of it. But if you believe you barely have the right to show up in your market, you'll be the wallflower of your industry. You'll also grossly undercharge for your work. When I launched my third album, The Fine Line, I also offered fans who pre-ordered the chance to become a sponsor. For a $500 contribution to the project, fans would not only get an autographed copy of the album, they'd also get 12 additional songs not on the album that were only available to them. In essence, they were essentially paying me up to $40 per song just to have access to something that only a select few could have. When most songs can be downloaded for less than a buck, you could choose to see this as highway robbery or value creation, depending on how you judge it. But fans happily contributed to the project, and we sold more copies of The Fine Line than my previous two albums combined. But if I'd believed that no one would ever pay that kind of money for my music, I never would have made that offer an option. I see this time and again when my new clients come to me. Some money is better than no money, they will say. And to a degree, that's true. But once you've gotten past the beginning stages of your business, it only serves to water down your value and deflate your belief in yourself and your great work. So instead, let's build you up. What do you believe about your great work? Who is it for? Why is it important? Why are you the one to be doing it? Again, be ruthlessly honest and write it all down. Your beliefs about your world. This one is tricky. When I say your world, I'm referring to the world in which you and your great work are meant to serve. This is different from the world, in that the scale of your dream might not include the whole world. If your world consists of your immediate family and your neighbors, then that's the context you need to write about. If you're building a global brand, then you need to consider the entire world. Most creatives in the early growth phases who are looking for a lifestyle business aren't typically concerned with building a global brand, at least not yet. Again, I encourage you to drop the judgment about the size or scale of your vision and own what's true for you today. Do you believe that your world is ready for you and your great work? Do you believe your world is inherently good and filled with loving, welcoming people? Or do you believe that you need to educate your world about the value you bring? Or that your world is filled with deceptive cheaters bent on stealing your ideas? Can you see how these beliefs might color the actions you choose to take? There's no right or wrong here. It is what it is. Drop the judgment and document as much as you can. Environmental considerations. What else might affect your context? Aside from your core beliefs and values, there are environmental considerations that you need to take into account. Where do you live? And what is access to opportunity like in your area? If you're a fashion designer living in Buford, Wyoming, population one, you'll have to build your business differently than if you lived in the fashion district of New York City. Where you live and what's going on around you matters to how you show up to do business on a daily basis. Like my client with a terminally ill spouse, you may have other factors in your world that create constraints around what's possible for you. If you've got a day job, a chronic illness, or a limit on your time or resources, you need to be clear about that. Again, it's not about judgment, it's about awareness. Trying to do more than you have the capacity to handle will only frustrate and angerify you. Be ruthlessly honest about your constraints, not so that you can be penned in or oppressed by them, but so that you can transcend them and succeed on your own terms. At this point, we're not trying to change anything. We just want to know what we're dealing with. This is your personal context, the frame that sets up the magic paintbrush picture you've been working on from the beginning. You may already be finding places where the frame doesn't fit the picture. That's normal. For now, don't fret too much about it. Just keep moving forward, and we'll return to these new awarenesses later. Your assignment. Review the questions from this chapter and get clear on the context in which you're building this business. The idea is to get the fullest picture of your situation so you know your growth constraints. Celebrate. Yes, this is a recurring theme. Get used to it. We don't do it often enough, particularly if you're a fusion creative.